Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. I've been wrestling with this whole thing of Thanksgiving recently. You see, I think I used to think that I had it figured out. I thought I figured Paul out when he says, give thanks in all circumstances. I thought, okay, that means I can give thanks in the circumstances, but not for the circumstances. But then I started reading more of Paul, because he's always saying thanks. He starts his letters off with thanksgiving. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that the God who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. I thank God in all my remembrance of you. I was reading Thessalonians. And when Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he says to them, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I thought, all right, I understand that. Give thanks in all circumstances, but not for all circumstances. Then I went to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and Paul says, sing and make music to the Lord, always giving thanks for everything to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God for everything, not just in everything, but for everything. And then we get our epistle for tonight from Philippians, and Paul says, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Let all people know your forbearance. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He's here. You've got Jesus. Give thanks. Paul says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the God of all peace will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've been wrestling with this whole thing of giving thanks. Is it in all circumstances, or is it for all circumstances? And if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if this is the gift God bestows upon us, then how can we not have the great thanksgiving? Giving thanks to God, the Father, in the name of His Son, Jesus, through the power of His Holy Spirit, giving thanks in everything and for everything. I was ringing bells this past Monday for the Salvation Army, Hy-Vee Northwest. I've signed up to do that every Monday afternoon from 1 to 3. So if you're ever saying, hey, I'm bored, I don't have anything to do, it's a Monday afternoon, go to Hy-Vee Northwest and you can ring bells and we'll talk while we're doing it, okay? 1 to 3. I was doing that on Monday. There was a good flow of crowd of people. But I didn't have Nora or Scarlett with me, and so I didn't have these little magnets, right? I mean, it's something about when kids are ringing the bells. Julie went today with Scarlett and Nora. She said everybody who's coming in was putting money into it. It was a big day. But when I went, it wasn't such a big day. Lots of customers, but not a lot of contributions. But everybody that came in, I said, good afternoon. And when they came out the door I was at, I said, have a blessed Thanksgiving. Most of the people didn't make eye contact with me. I think it was their way of dealing with guilt. They felt a lot more comfortable walking past that red kettle if they didn't have to look me in the eye. But I still said, good afternoon. I still said, have a blessed Thanksgiving. Now, there was one man that came in, and he stopped. He pulled out his wallet. He pulled $2 or $3 out, put it into the kettle. And I said, thank you. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. And he looked at me, and he said, I don't think so. It hasn't been a good year. I've had some significant losses. And as he went into the Hy-Vee grocery store, I just paused and I just prayed for that man. Never saw him before. Maybe we'll never see him again. But I said, Lord, I don't know what his sorrow and sadness is, but I pray that you can pour your spirit upon him and that you will bless him with thanksgiving. You see, it was that conversation I had at Hy-Vee that got me thinking even more about our scripture lessons for tonight, about giving thanks. In all circumstances? For all circumstances? Do we only show gratitude when everything is going well? When we get a clean bill of health? When we get a promotion or a raise? When everything's good with the family and you got lots of love? When everybody is traveling safe? Can we also give thanks to God when we get a demotion? When we get a cut in our salary? When the news is not good, like a terminal illness? Or when the child we've been waiting for is a stillborn? Can we, even in those circumstances, give thanks to God? You know, you've heard of people that have kind of fair-weather faith or fickle faith. I've been thinking about that this past week. What about Thanksgiving? Do we give thanks in a rather fickle or fair-weather manner? We tell kids that saying thanks is important. Good manners, right? But it's more than manners. It's more than just teaching our kids to write a thank you note or to say thank you. It's about a way of life. For people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus, the atoning sacrifice that makes us one with God, reconciled, forgiven. Is it possible, having Jesus in our lives, to give thanks, not only in, but for all circumstances? There's a Peanuts cartoon. Maybe you've seen it. It's where Charlie Brown is celebrating Thanksgiving Day, and he goes out to his dog Snoopy, and he's got Snoopy's dog dish, and he puts some dog food into it. And you know Snoopy. He looks at that dog food in the dog dish, and he says, "This isn't fair. Everybody else is eating turkey today and all the trimmings and fixings that go with it. And all I get is the same old dog food in my same old dog dish. Life isn't fair." And then he pauses and he says, "I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." I saw that cartoon and I thought, is that the basis of our giving thanks? Where we just simply compare our lives, our circumstances to others? Where we say, well, you know, there are 16 to 18,000 children that die every day somewhere in the world of hunger-related diseases, probably not happening to us or the people we know. Is that why we give thanks? Because our circumstances are better, more favorable than that of others? That man at Hy-Vee, he got me thinking. He's had a rough year. He's had some significant losses. That must mean that he can't experience or receive the blessing of Thanksgiving. Or is he wrong? Is it possible to be blessed, to be grateful, to give thanks in all circumstances? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich," because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the church at Corinth, chapters 11 and 9, gets into an episode of bragging and boasting. He's got an amazing portfolio, and so he starts to kind of parade it. And then he says, not only am I outstanding in all these ways, but I've been so faithful to Jesus, look at all that I've suffered. The shipwrecks, the lashings and beatings, the persecutions, one trauma, one episode of sorrow after another. Paul is going on and on. He says, you forced me to this. You made me boast and brag. He said, but you know the best thing to brag about is my weakness. And then he talks about that thorn in the flesh. You know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul has this thorn in the flesh, and it's agonizing, whatever it is. He said, I prayed 3 times for God to take away, to remove this thorn in the flesh, but it remained. Paul said, it was a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too conceited or elated. Right before talking about the thorn in the flesh, Paul says, God gave me an amazing series of revelations. He took me to the third heaven. In the first century, the third heaven was paradise. I saw paradise, Paul says. Paradise is the home of heaven, the home of God, the abode of our Lord. Kind of like what St. John, exiled on the island of Patmos, got to see when he got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I saw it all. I've already seen where we're all headed. To keep me from being too elated, puffed up, conceited, God let Satan harass me with this thorn in the flesh. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And finally God answered me. You remember what God said to Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. When you're in the thick of it, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, when it doesn't seem like it can get any worse, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, that's what he heard, because my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, okay, I get it. Now I know what I need to boast about, my weaknesses. I'll all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, because when I am weak, then the power of Christ, God's strength, resides in me. I'll rejoice. Even with insults and calamities and persecutions and sufferings, it doesn't matter what comes my way. I'll give thanks. You see, if Paul were asked the question I asked the kids tonight, what are you thankful for? I know that he would say, everything. I suppose when you get a view of the third heaven, paradise, the abode of God, the home of the saints, I suppose that does put everything else in life in perspective, doesn't it? Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. I mean, I know what Paul is thinking, because there were times in my life and in my ministry that I'd say, you know, Lord, this TMJ stuff drives me crazy. Plugs your ear, the allergies and stuff. You know, Lord, I could really serve you a whole lot better if I didn't have to fool around with the allergies and I didn't have to fool around with the TMJ and I didn't have to say 3 or 4 times, what did you say? Or have to pull over the car, etc. I know. You know, right? And I prayed about that. And now Paul is teaching me what he learned. God's grace is always sufficient. I mean, it is. It's all sufficient. He gives grace upon grace. He pours it upon us. He pours it into us so that we can give thanks to the Father for the gift of his Son. But not through our own power. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. I remember this story really well. I remember the day really well. It is a story of sadness. Julie and I had gone, when we were living in the state of Washington, on a Labor Day, to the Tacoma Mall, Macy's. And Julie saw that they had these kind of elegant teapots, expensive, on sale for half price. She said, I should call Rachel. This is on Emily's registry. Emily was going to get married in a week and a half. Emily, the daughter of a Lutheran pastor, was Rachel's roommate for 4 years at college. They were best friends. And Rachel was going to be in the wedding. I said, yeah, give her a call. Tell her it's on sale. We can pick it up. It's half price. She calls Emily. She calls Rachel and asks about this gift for Emily. And there's just silence. And Julie's done talking. I said, well, what did she say? And I thought maybe she was upset because it was early in the day and she had been sleeping and she got woke up and she said, Sam died. And I didn't even catch it at first. And then suddenly I realized Emily's fiance, Sam, the youth director at a church, he was working a second job so that they could have a honeymoon together. He was coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and somebody that was 28 years old T-boned him. The 28-year-old was thinking drunk, 2 to 3 times over the intoxication level. And Sam died at the scene. A week and a half before a wedding. Give thanks? You see, it's not so easy, is it? In the midst of the sorrow and suffering that comes our way, God is faithful, always full of grace. Emily has since met another guy and gotten married and had a child, but she still has sadness. I was at Sam's funeral. The church was packed. He and Emily, they did everything right. They kept the marriage bed undefiled. They wanted to do everything right. They wanted to do everything with their life as a husband and wife to please God and to serve Him in ministry. That day at Sam's funeral was a day of thanksgiving. Thanking God that death never has the last word, that the day is surely coming when God is going to wipe away every tear and death will be no more. And so here's what I'm learning about thanksgiving. We give thanks through the power of the Holy Spirit to the Father in the name of His Son, in everything and for everything. But that doesn't mean I'm always happy. And my guess is you're not always happy-go-lucky either. But because God's grace is sufficient, we give thanks. And tonight, for the gift of His Son Jesus in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, we give thanks again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able and sing together hymn number